Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast.
Just last week, we talked about this whole series called Planted, and I just want to jump into this. This has been a great learning curve for me. Some series we jump into, some things I just don't know, and I'm just learning, and soils is just, I'm learning my own yard, I'm just having patchy spots. You learn as you go. I feel like when God wants to challenge you, he puts you in a situation to be challenged. I'm just a freebie for you. If you're praying for courage, he's not going to poof give you courage. He's going to put you in situations to be courageous. Is that making sense? If you're praying for patience, some people tell me all the time, I don't believe God answers my prayers. You know what prayers God always answers? God, make me humble and make me patient. Is this true? He's going to put you in situations to be patient, and he's going to make you humble. And that's just the way it is, because I don't know if it's fun for him, but you pray for patience, you're going to have a lot of traffic jam to learn how to do patience. Because you learn these things along the way. And so even this process, last week I talked about soil, and we talked about different kinds of soil. We talked about the hard soil, the trampled soil. We talked about the rocky soil. And then we talked about the thorn, the full soil, the crowded hard soil. And then we talked about the good soil. And what I said was, Francis Chan says in his book, don't assume that you're the good soil. And I just want to throw this out there. You may be good soil today. Guess what? Monday's coming. Right? Can we just be realistic in here? It's Sunday. Like, we're always like, yeah. And then, we're at the family, we're not working, and all of a sudden Monday comes around, we're like, oh man, here comes the thorny and rocky soil. We go to work and a boss says something. And so it's not just that this is who you are all the time. It's working through who you're going to be daily. Is that making sense? And I just want us to assume there are always a good soil. We always are a process of being worked. Soil needs to be broken up for the seed to break through. And so today we're talking about seeds. And I actually have a package of seeds right here with me, these little tiny seeds. When you came in, you should have been given a little baggie. Everybody got his little baggie? If you can, pull this out. Because I want you to keep this. You don't always need to keep it in your pocket. I'm not saying this. But some of you people are visual. Some people hear things. Some people want to feel something. Just so you know, as I preach today, this and this little bag, if you didn't get one, make sure you grab one later. This is a mustard seed. Isn't this crazy? One of the smallest seeds. And I'm going to show you some pictures of what happens with a mustard seed, and we're going to explain this later. But this is a mustard seed. So I want us to keep this. But I want you to know some things in Scripture. When God gave Jewish tradition, this is not scriptural, but Jewish tradition says that when God told Noah to build the ark, one of the first things he did was plant seeds. Because he knew he needed a forest to cut down some trees. And I'm not saying this is scriptural, but I'm saying that seems so good in my head that makes sense. 1 Corinthians says this. It says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God that made the plant grow. Think about that. It says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. For we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. Can I just, it is not many times it says it like that, but in this illustration it says, you are partnering with the Lord to help grow. Next week we're going to talk about the plant growing, but today we're going to talk about the seeds. A watermelon seed. Here's something. William Jennings, in 1925, once likened the mystery of God to a watermelon seed. He says, I have observed the power of the watermelon seed. It has the power of drawing from the ground and through itself 200,000 times its weight. It says, when you can tell me how it takes this material and out of its colors on the outside, surface beyond the imitation of art, and then forms inside its white rind, and within that again, its red heart, thickly inlaid with black seeds. Each one of them is churned and is capable of drawing through itself another 200% more weight. When you can explain to me the mystery of the watermelon, you can ask me to explain the mystery of God. Is this true? A little seed can form this watermelon 200,000 bigger. This quote's awesome too. It says, anyone can count the seeds in an apple. No one can count the apples in a seed. Isn't that cool? Anybody can count how many seeds are in it, but no one can count the process of how many seeds, how many apples are going to come out of one seed. It's interesting because we're going to use some words today, like, here's a fun one, germination. Anybody know what germination is? And so we have a quick video. If you can, I just want you to understand this. As you hold a seed in your hand, Levi is going to push play. Welcome to Science Class 101. And so you can start that video, Levi. Go ahead.
What is germination? When a seed is sown into moist soil, it begins to grow. This process is called germination. It occurs in the following steps. The seed coat splits. A tiny root grows downward and a shoot grows upward. This produces a seedling of a plant, which ultimately grows into a new plant. After some time, the plant bears flowers. The flowers produce fruits, and the fruits have seeds in them. All seeds can germinate when sown in moist soil under suitable conditions to produce new plants. By natural or man-made processes, these seeds are sown into the soil again, and that is how new plants are born.
So, that's science class, right? Science 101, germination. So, yesterday, I was at the store, you know, getting a few things, and then I found this. This is pretty a cool little thing. Look at it. It's called Burpee Self-Watering Seed Starting Kit. I'm like, what's this do? All you do is add water for like in the last for 10 days and plants begin to form because everything a seed needs to grow is contained in every single one of these containers. There's dirt, there's a seed, there's soil. You water it and it grows within the right temperature because there's certain things the seed needs to grow to expand. And so today, it's interesting because I'll leave this here. It's interesting, as we talk about this today, there's certain things a seed needs to do. As you notice, the seed needs to go down before it goes up. You guys catch that? It's an interesting. But the number one thing is, point number one I want you to catch this is this. The seed needs to break open. It needs to break open. There's no process unless it breaks open. The seed itself, there's a coating around the seed. And itself, if you're here for the first time, This is applicable, I promise. Trust me on this. The seed will go down, get in the dirt. When it's in the right environment, the outer layer breaks open, and the seed, if you notice that video, the seed grows down, and then it pops out of the ground. Does that make any sense? It almost like it pops up as it grows up. It's interesting because you bury the seed, you break it open, and change happens. The sower initiates the change by putting it in the ground. The seed informs change, and the soil supports the change. The seed is broken, and when it's broken, it is multiplied. That's interesting. It's multiplying. It's like when Jesus was feeding the 5,000 people. If you notice it, he only had a few fishes and he had 5,000 people to feed. It says that he had a few loaves and fishes. Here's what the process is. It says that the Lord blessed it. That means he raised it up and he gave thanks to the Lord. And then it says he broke each piece and then he gave them out. Multiplication happened spiritually when he thanked the Lord and he broke it and then he passed it out. You catching this? It was broken. And things that are broken, I'm not saying literally we've got to break everything in our lives, but it was broken and it was used. Paul says in scripture, he says, I die daily for the cause of Jesus Christ. He says, I remove myself. I don't live for myself. I lay aside my own personal mindsets and ideas and who I am for the cause of Christ. He goes, I crucify myself so God may increase. What he's saying is that I may decrease and the Lord may increase in my life. That I be broken and so I can be shared. So the Lord Jesus can be shared. So it's interesting in scripture. And it says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed." It says, "But if it dies, it produces many seeds." They say that the seed, as it's opened up, is almost, it has to die to itself to be opened up so it can create more. Now, I want you to catch this. It's not saying a physical death. It's applying a surrender of our hearts. You guys catching this? It is saying that there needs to be a point that we are broken. A year ago, I did a whole sermon on brokenness, and I related it not to like being crushed, but to be truly surrendered. As a person, we have some friends here who train horses, and when you train a horse, it's called you break in a horse, because that horse has to learn to surrender to the master. And so he says, talking about the seeds, he says, it needs to be broken in. And in the right environment, the seed will be broken and it will start to grow. Here's what I'm telling you. And point number one, there's a lot of people in churches and maybe here who are wondering why you're not growing deeper. You're wondering why the process in you is not, things aren't changing. And I'm here to tell you, maybe the process is not changing because there's not a brokenness or surrender that's happened yet. There's not, because I'm telling you, once there's a brokenness and surrender and that seed begins open, a change begins to happen in life. And if you're like me, a lot of us, we're scared of change. And so when we start even thinking this way, we get a little bit nervous. Next point is this, roots. The roots must grow deep. To anybody in here, parents especially, you have older kids and you just say something like, just grow up, right? You just get your mad at your kids, grow up. You kick them out of the house or whatever you do. You just want your kids to grow up. Maybe some of your wives tell your husband that, grow up. You know what I'm saying? Stop playing video games all day or do whatever you do. But it's interesting because here's what I'm going to tell you. When you look at a seed, in order for the seed to grow up, the seed must first do what? Grow down. We should be yelling at our people to grow down. No, grow down. Because what happens is in order for us to grow up, we need to grow down. You need to grow roots, and that's the first step to opening up is when once you're opened up, your deep roots begin to grow. To survive, the root system must take up more space underground than the plant takes above ground. Let me say this again. To survive the growing process at first, the plant needs to take up more real estate and more areas below the ground in order for it to take up space above the ground. And I'm telling you this, it's when I'm talking about this, it is your character, your integrity, it's who you are underneath the surface. If you want to know who you're going to be in public, the question is, who are you in private? Because the real question is, who am I? And I'm telling you, one of my goals in life is to be the same person at home as I am here at church on Sunday morning. Because if I'm leaving here on Sunday morning and preaching you all, and I'm a jerk at my house, and I'm not unloving in my kids, and I'm mean to people in the community, listen, what I say doesn't matter. If I'm not pretty much, I'm not saying I'm perfect or whatever, I just want, listen, I want to be consistent. I want to be a person who literally, that my family can look at me with integrity because you all know an 80% of the iceberg is underneath the surface. It's not what's above the surface. It's underneath the surface. What God wants us to work on is what people don't always see. What we focus on is what we see. What the Lord wants us to focus on is what's below the surface. What is God doing in here? Because I'm telling you, people who have very shallow roots will not survive for very long. It's going to just topple over. You can't grow very big. It's interesting because both the plant and the root system will keep growing until the plant is strong and mature enough to bear fruit. Both the roots and the stem will keep on growing all the way. It's interesting because if you're taking notes, write this down. It's going to be up top too. foundation always has to be bigger than what it's trying to support. The foundation always has to be stronger. If you have a house and it has a weak foundation, you probably can't add more layers to your house because your foundation can't support it. If you have a good foundation, you could probably go more layers and more stories on it because your foundation always has to be strong. Below the surface has to be strong. It's interesting because I think it was just 2 months ago. Anybody remember that submarine and fish illustration that I shared? And I had this picture of a submarine on a screen. And I think it was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was watching Discovery Channel. And I always watch these like documentaries, these dumb things. And it was about this submarine that's like completely submersible. And it's going to the deepest places of the ocean. And it's super dark. And no man's ever been down there. And they're like building this thing up. And I'm like watching, like, this is awesome. And then as I'm watching it, a little fish swims right by. And I'm like, dude, this is the funniest thing ever. And I'm like, I feel like that fish was mocking the documentary, saying like, you built this with your hands, the man, and then the Lord built a tiny fish to just laugh at the submarine. And then science began. I started thinking about this. I'm going, here's this tin can flowing down to the surface, but it can't go any deeper because the outside pressure was greater than the inside pressure. And if it went down any deeper, it would crush. And here's this little thin layer fish swimming with just a little bit of skin. And it dawned on me, it doesn't matter the skin you have on you. It matters about the pressure that's on the inside of you. I want you to catch this. If the pressure on the outside that is greater than the pressure on the inside, this is where you feel overwhelmed, and this is where you feel like you're going to implode. You know why it's important for you to come to church, to get involved with life groups, to serve? Because every time you do something for the Lord and every time you worship, you're literally building the pressure on the inside that's greater than the pressure on the outside. This is what the roots are doing. It means when the storm comes, that means your root system can hold up the trunk. It's above ground cannot be stronger than below ground. Your deepness matters. Listen, your deepness matters. Don't have shallow faith. If you want to grow up stronger, get deeper. God needs to make you bigger on the inside before you can get bigger on the outside. Without roots, check this out, there's no fruit. Without roots, you can't have fruit. So I coined this phrase this past week. This is really fun. Ready? Here it is. It says, rootless are the fruitless. Fun, right? Everybody say that with me. One, two, three. Ready? One, two, three. Think about this. You can't bear fruit if you have no root. There's no way around it. You're not going to produce anything if you're not getting nutrients in to supply the needs of what's going on. You can't magically say, oh, I hope an orange appears. Oh, an orange! Because what is drawing up is fruit, is the nutrients in your life to produce the fruit. You know why churches have a hard time? Some people in this room come from churches that just beat people down or whatever. You know, it's not about not loving the Lord. It's not about, you know what I'm saying, maybe they went in a different direction. But you know why people are hurt? You know why people come hurt? It's because we forget about the fruits of the Spirit sometimes. Love, joy, peace, kindness. Because unless you're producing the fruits, you can't give the fruits away. Check this out. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have the love in your life or the joy or the peace in your life, it's hard to go in a situation that needs peace and offer peace if you don't have peace to give. It's interesting. You just can't give what we don't have. And so if we don't have the roots going deep, it's hard to have the fruits that will go out. So, and that happens. People are already going to ask, how do you grow those roots? Come into church. Reading your own Bible. I'm telling you what, praying to the Lord, sometimes it's good, don't get me wrong. It's good to pray for needs. It's good to pray for things that you need or you need help with. But when was the last time you just had a conversation with the Lord? When was the last time you just allowed the Lord to speak? When was the last time you just listened to the Lord? When was the last time you just wrote in a journal and just started, Lord, and allowing the Lord to speak to you? And I'm encouraging you, go for prayer walks. If you don't have a worship CD, and maybe you listen to this worship here that Dan and Brianna do, and you're like, I love that song. Look that song up. If you don't have it, find it on YouTube and spend some time every morning and evening just worshiping in your house. Maybe you just got to, whatever you got to do, but just find areas to put that root system deeper. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. Number three is this, activate your faith. Every seed contains both energy and identity. A seed basically is a copy of the plant that it will become, each seed. It contains the information needed to grow the complete plant. So if you think about this, everybody grab your seeds. If you think about this little thing right here, here's what's cool about it. Each seed, no matter how small this thing is, contains life and the potential of more life. Think about that. Each seed, even how small it is, contains life and the potential of more life. And so, but we need to activate it. Just like our faith needs to be activated, we need to go deep. We need to take next steps. And so my challenge for you this morning, here's some practical things. If you want to grow, activate your faith, if you want to go deeper in your walk, and if you want to bring life, the potential of life, here's a few ideas. Number one is share your faith. Share your faith journey. One of the things we do here is we do video testimonies of people's faith journey, and we share your story with his story. And so the change in what's the change, what God has done in your own heart, he calls us to share. Because when you share your stories, you are planting seeds of life in somebody else's heart. Isn't this true? You're planting seeds in somebody else's heart. Faith is sharing. Listen, you're not the saving, you're the sharing. You are sowing seeds in somebody else's life. And some people are like, well, I'm pretty scared. My son Sawyer came to me last night. This is last night. My mom, he was at my mom and dad's. He came walking through the woods, and he came into my house. He's like, you know what I told Charlie? And I said, what? I'm thinking, he said some funny things, and I'm thinking, it's not going to be serious. He's like, I don't know, she was scared about something. And I told her, he goes, Dad, I didn't even get this from the Bible. It's from me. That's what he said. I was like, well, here we go. And I said, what's that? He goes, I told Charlie she needs to be brave anywhere. And I was like, wow. That's awesome. And then just later that night, he was scared about something. I said, what'd you tell Charlie? You need to be brave anywhere. I said, you know what? With God's help, you can be brave anywhere. You can be brave sharing your story. You know, number two is this, speak life in others. I think, listen, I am telling you, we are inundated. If you're in social media, if you watch the news, dude, people are just speaking gossip and lies and whatever. There's some truth and stuff too. But don't you just feel overwhelmed by a lot of these words? And you just tell them, is this true? Is this not true? Is this true? And I'm telling you, as a believer in following the Lord, stay away from the gossip. When we gossip about somebody else in church or somebody else in the community, you are actually doing the opposite of what God wants you to do. You're working against the Lord. It's interesting because the Lord came to bring healing and restoration, to bring words of life and encouragement. So when you speak to someone and you give words of encouragement, a few months ago I spoke a message about just sharing your words, and here's my rule of thumb. If it's positive and you don't know if you should say it or not, here's my rule. Just say it anyway. If someone comes up to you and they have nice shoes on, and you're like, oh, they have nice shoes, just tell them, hey, nice shoes. You know, if Gabe gets a new haircut and he looks really good, tell Gabe, nice haircut, Gabe. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the deal. If it's something positive in your mind, just share it. You're planting seeds. And be careful what kind of seeds you plant. So you don't want to plant gossip, but plant good seeds. Number three is this, pray. Now I already said this, but we got to be people who pray. No one should pray for your kids more than you as a parent. You should be praying for your spouse. You should be praying for each other. We should be lifting up. And I don't want my mind just to go berserk doing nothing. We should be people who pray. We should be people that we should be walking our neighborhoods. And you might be crazy. And you're like stretching out your hands, praying for your neighbors. I don't know what you do, But what about just praying? What about praying over our city? What about praying for what God is going to do? What about praying for our country? What about praying these? And so we need to be people of prayer. And prayer is just talking to the Lord. It's not, you don't have to go to Jarvis and say, let's pray. I'm telling you, here's my goal for you. If someone comes up to you and says, can we talk? Can we have a conversation? I need help. Your response, yeah, you can give an answer, but you know what your friend needs? For you to pray with them. There needs to be the Lord that comes part of this healing situation. If we believe the Lord brings healing, let's pray for each other. Let's pray and see what God can do. Number four is this, serve. We need, you know what's happening at Watermark? God Divine, we're growing. But you know what we need more help with? I'm telling you, one of my favorite things is when I announce Monday cleanup day, we literally had like almost 20 people there in the morning. I'm going, I wasn't expecting hardly anybody anymore. I was expecting people like at 3:30, 4 o'clock after work. And I'm like, dude, don't you guys work? And of course, people work. But I could not, I'm literally overwhelmed with generosity. I left that day. People were coming all day, weed whacking, cleaning. And then if you couldn't make it, people responding, I wish I could have been there. I want to help you out. I just couldn't make it that day. I'm like, are you kidding me? You guys, this church is awesome. And I'm just telling you, one, if you want to grow your deeps, so I'm going to pick on Levi. Levi's back here. He's our media guy. Levi, can you just raise your hand? Levi. Levi was, when I was youth pastor, Levi was my student. And listen, if you guys don't know this, Brianna, who does worship, she's beautiful, of course. She was my former student. Ben, crazy youth pastor Ben, was a former student. Levi, former student. And people would always tell me, and when I was youth pastor, my wife and I would say, do you have favorites? I think you have favorites. You know what I wanted to answer? Yes, and it's not your kid. That's what I wanted to say. I never said that, and I've never said, no, I didn't have any favorites. But you know who I do like? Is the kids that show up. Every single peer, Brianna, Levi, Ben, they were active in our youth ministry every single week, and they were participating, they were involved, and now our relationship has grown to staff and everything else. Can I just tell you, it's not like you have to have favorites, but you get to know people you do life with. Isn't this true? People who show up and serve, and so it's not like you have favorites, but I'm telling you, we do events, and we need help. We do events downtown. We do events here. We do a different events. We just need help. Kids area, I'm telling you, when we started this church, it was pretty much my kids in there and the Jolly's kids in there and a few other kids. Dude, Stacy just told me a few weeks ago, they had over 60 kids in kids' church. 60. You know what's cool? I love it when people say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pray that we can reach the lost. You know what's coming? People who don't go to church are coming. You know what? Kids are going to kids' church who have never heard any Bible story in their entire life and are coming to hear the Bible story in kids' church. And so, you know, and Stacy's not asking for every week. It's like, she's like, hey, can you help once a month or once every 6 weeks? That kind of stuff. It's pretty awesome. Worship team. Brianna's like, dude, if you love to worship and you have talent, she doesn't want me up here. We couldn't worship. We could maybe pray, but not worship. And computer and sound and all these things, we need help. We need people to jump in. Because, listen, when you meet a need, you begin to be fed. There's a different level that becomes because, I'm telling you, you go from a consumer to a contributor. You go from practice to putting on a jersey. You go from just being involved and being available and just saying, I want to be part of this. And say, so here's what's interesting. Up here, I got a package of these seeds, and it's open. I opened them already. I've been holding one of these seeds. But I believe in many churches that many people in many churches, I'm not saying here because you guys are awesome. I'm just sharing that a lot of people are like the seeds that are in this bag. Because the same seeds that if these go in the ground and get watered and they're in the dirt, you know what I'm saying, and they're in the right environment, they become active and they start doing what they're called to do. Listen, a seed is not meant to stay in the bag. Because you know what doesn't happen in bags? They don't grow. Listen, there's bags of seeds all over stores today that are not doing anything. They're sitting within the same little area. They're not doing anything, and they wonder why they're not growing. You know why? Because they're still stuck in the same spot they were on the shelf a while ago. But it's not until they are taken out, ripped open, put where God has planted them, and that's when they begin to see. Now, check this out. Not just one seed, not just one plant, but as you heard by, you know, saying the science project, when the wind comes, Holy Spirit comes, it blows in the way to create multiplication around all the soils. Is it checking this out? That you begin to expand, that you begin to move. It's interesting because in the package with no soil, there is no change that begins to happen. When you grow in the Lord, nothing meets the cross without change. When you come to the Lord, things have to change. And so deeper roots means stronger plant. That means we need to invest. I'm going to share this next week. I'm going to share two times because I want you to catch this. If you want a great fire way to grow, find somebody that you look up to and go up to them and say, can you help me grow? Can you walk with me? Can you show me? Can we pray together? Can we be together? Can you encourage me to open up? Can you encourage me to take off my outer hard shell and be and deepen my faith? Can you teach me what it means to read scripture? Can you teach me what it means to grow further in the Lord? Can you teach me what it means to serve? Because listen, it's not the responsibility of the mentor, it's the responsibility of the mentee to want change and growth. Does this make any sense? I've had many people over the years come to me saying, can you mentor me? And I'm always like, sure, it's on you though. If you want to grow, then you come talk to me. I'll help you grow. But it's on you. The responsibility is on you to grow. Find somebody to say, I need to grow. Find somebody to help you grow. You cannot force things to grow. We are a church. Our tagline is love, grow, and serve. We're going to love the Lord. We're going to love others. But we have got to grow. We have got to grow deeper. We have got to grow out. And we have got to grow towards the Lord. And in doing so, we serve. It's interesting because we just need to do this. We can't always worry about the outcome. We need to worry about the investing. Mark Batterson, who's a church planner in D.C., says it this way, if we do the little things like they are big things, then God will do the big things like they are little things. The mustard seed. Everybody take our little bag again. Here's a scripture verse. Jesus was sharing this, and he said this. In Matthew 17:20, it says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move here and move there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 13 says this. It says, this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Isn't that the coolest picture? That it goes from a seed to a home where even the birds nest in the branches. Your life, when it's broken in the right soil and it grows down and it grows up, as small and as insignificant as you may feel, which is the smallest seed. I love it how it says, so that. It's like saying, such is faith. I think faith is as small as a mustard seed of opportunities every single day. For example, am I going to love this person? Am I going to share my faith with this person? Am I going to pray a little prayer? It really is a daily thing where you seize those little mustard seeds opportunities to see what God does. There is a so that. Long after you are gone, there is a so that. Telling you, where's my grandma? My grandma's up here. Where's my grandma? She's here. Listen, Watermark is here today because she's been sowing seeds of prayer over this church. And not just now, but even before we launch, not just that, but she's been praying for her family. Not just that, my mom knows the Lord because of seeds of faith in the past. You want to know what's cool about a family tree? A family tree always starts with a seed. It starts someplace. It's interesting because when all is said and done, and life is coming to an end, you plant the potential impact of the world, of generations, near and far. It comes through seeds. And your life is a seed. Dan and Breen up here, you can just stand up. I'm going to share the story with you. I learned this past week, and this is one of the most fascinating stories. I want you to catch this, because I think this is where a lot of us are at. In 1963, a team of Israeli archaeologists excavated Herod the Great's palace. Think about this, Herod the Great. They unearthed the usual suspects, skeleton remains, ancient artifacts, and the like. But most important find may have been a jar of preserved seeds. Check this out. The seeds belong to an extinct species of trees called the Judean date palm, which had been wiped out around 500 AD. In 2005, these seeds were planted in the region of southern Israel. And 8 weeks later, one of them sprouted. Think about that. The oldest known seed to be successfully germinated. They call this seed, this plant, the Methuselah. If you're in junior Bible quiz, you know why. Methuselah is the oldest king ever, oldest person. After the oldest person in the Bible, that one seed grew into a 4-foot tree with a dozen leaves by 2008. It flowered for the first time in 2012. Today, Methuselah, the plant, is 10 foot tall, and pollen is producing on the palm. You know what I find amazing? And this is where I'm going to be honest with you this morning. It's not that every seed needs dirt, but I do find it irony that seeds come out of dirt. Because some of your lives, listen, I want you to hear this. Some of you feel like you're this seed and you've been stuck in a holding pattern. You feel like you're stuck. And this church thing may be new to you, maybe something you've always done, but you're just stuck in this pottery and you're like, I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, somebody finds you, breaks open this pottery and says, listen, I don't care if it's been 1,000 years later, we're gonna give this thing a shot. And guess what begins to happen? A beautiful plant begins to grow, and now pollen is growing on it. And it's now, listen, what has been sitting dormant for generations is now gonna bring life to the next generations. What has been extinct and gone, people thought, is now brought back to life, and now there's a plant that was no longer there because there was always a seed there. We just had to be found. Listen, in your spiritual life, the Lord is looking at you. And even though you may feel like nobody sees you, no one says, he sees you. In the dormant, he sees you unopened. He sees and says, listen, I see the life. I see the potential. All you see is the seed, and I see the plant. I see the trees. I see the abundance. I see the field. How cool is it that this one seed can produce a field? A field. I love it because it comes out of the dirt. And some of you, listen, have been in the dirt. Some of you made mistakes. Some of you feel like you've been in mistakes. Some of you have just been in the soil and you just feel like I'm dirty. Some of you feel like all hope feels lost. Some of you just feel like, what does God have for me? Some of you just feel like it's just full of mistakes. And God takes the seed out of the dirt and brings life out of it. One of my favorite quotes I've ever heard, check this out, says this: they tried to bury us. they didn't know we were seeds. You're going through something tough. You're going through a rough marriage. Maybe you're going through some friendship battles. Maybe you're going through a past. You're trying to deal with your past. Maybe you're trying to run away from something. Maybe you're trying to deal with something. Maybe you're going through some insecurities or you're going through some dirt. You know what I love about this? They try to bury Jesus. And they didn't realize it was the seed of life and how the resurrection brought more life. Isn't that amazing? They try to bury Jesus and he realized that he was the ultimate seed that brought life to all humanity. Listen, Satan tried to bury you too. Try to bury you in this muck and junk and dirt. He tried to put weeds around you, try to suck the life away from you. I'm just telling you, when Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future, and you say, listen, I might have been buried, but I'm still a child of the Lord, and I'm going to rise up out of the dirt. I'm going to come up out of the ashes, and God is not done with me yet. You can bury me in some tomb. You can bury me in some pottery. You can bury me in some dirt, but listen, I'm still a seed, and I still have a future, and I'm still going to be a generation, and I'm still going to flow. Can you put that picture of that tree up there? Listen, look at this. The mustard tree itself. This to this produces thousands more seeds. And this is just a tree. You should see the mustard plants. Every time you have mustard in your hot dog, just realize it's a seed. Right? So I'm here to tell you, don't forget about the process. You want Lord to grow, be broken, go deep, and all of a sudden life is gonna come.